just want to listen to it and not really get involved in it. But I'd like to preface just the evening is that when we talk about financial transparency, I just think of the fruits of the Spirit and how important that those are in the context that we're going to be talking about tonight, whether you're the one who is listening, whether you're the one that is needing help or advice, if you're the one that's wondering or questioning. So tonight, it's not going to be a monological conversation. We're going to dialogue tonight about financial transparency. It's about being honest with each other about our own finances, even if they are subpar. Some of you weren't here Sunday, but I had a brother in the community spoke to me very, very specifically one time, I think it was about 4 or 5 months ago, about his current financial status. And I could tell soon into the conversation that this was more than just information that was carelessly coming off his cuff. It was actually something that was very real and dear to him. And the amount of transparency that he shared with me, and it's no one in this church even, I started thinking about this. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, Joseph and Arlo and I were just standing, I think it was at Sunday after church, and we were talking about, you know, do we really enjoy or do we want more financial transparency in our lives? Do we tend to shun it? Are we really close with that kind of information? And then Rose was reading Church Matters by Gary Miller. And if you haven't read it, you need to. And so I started reading the book, didn't even know it was in there, and he addresses some of those issues. And he also wrote, I think, two articles that were written in the Anabaptist Financial newsletter, and Arlen shared one of those with me on Sunday. And so this has sort of been growing on me, and then Hans mentioned something to me way back about having a topic for Wednesday evening. And so I sort of dared to take up this subject with you. And I don't know, maybe it would be easier to take it up with complete strangers, because sometimes it's easier to talk to complete strangers. But you know, you're talking with people that you go to church with, and there's the people that are observing my life, I'm observing yours. So I think this is a good setting to talk about this. So this evening, I'm hoping that this brotherhood is going to be strengthened through a genuine conversation. A conversation because it includes all of us. Understanding that this delicate dialogue needs thoughtfulness. So when I hear the word about personal finances, I tend to think that that subject is no one's business but mine. My wife. Now, if you add the word transparency in the same sentence as finances, then I get a little nervous. And maybe you do or don't. Finances are very personal to us. How much debt do you have is not a question we get every day, is it? It would probably make us bristle a little bit. We tend to resist letting other people know much about that intimate part of our life. I think maybe, I'll speak for myself, but maybe we tend to want to give the impression that it's better off than it really is. Well, I think that we've made good progress. I think we still have a little bit of journeying to do in our Anabaptist culture in creating an atmosphere that encourages people to seek financial solution in the early stages of a pending disaster, and for people to freely seek financial counsel from within the church itself and the brotherhood. I was speaking to a friend of mine, I think it was Monday, and we were talking about this subject, and he told me that he didn't grow up around here, he grew up in Ohio, and he told me that one of the things that he has observed is that when it comes to financial situations where young people find themselves or older people find themselves really in a bad spot, is that there's a tendency to not say or disclose anything. And so when it gets a little bit worse, we just double down on it. No, we really can't say anything now. Until we have to say something. And his thoughts were that speaking early to the subject is much better off than waiting for a long period of time. So if I would tell you all the details that the brother shared with me 4 months ago, I could tell you all these details, but you wouldn't care about him like I think I do. You know, I've thought about him a lot, especially as it involves our sort of weather this spring. I have a vested interest in knowing how this is going to work for him. And the context of his words are missing to you. So I think it's important that when we talk about finances and how it involves other people, I think financial information that is shared with you privately, if that information is passed on to other people, it could quickly just become pure, unadulterated gossip. So in this church, we have a spectrum. Gary Miller has a spectrum in his book. The spectrum at one end is 1040, where you would show people in the church, ministers, deacons, your 1040 every year. They would know exactly how much money you've made. On the other side is a group of people that will never say anything, regardless of how bad it is. So somewhere, and I'm looking a little bit more this way than that way, but somewhere we as men probably position ourselves somewhere in there. And if I were to guess, it'd be probably a little bit in the middle. I doubt any of us would just be, if I would have asked all of you to bring your 1040s tonight, so I've got a slideshow here tonight, you know, it'd probably really be empty, the church. And so, you know, somewhere in there, Mark is as well. Somewhere I am in between there. So I have questions tonight because I don't have a lot of answers. And I want you to understand that these questions that you're going to be asking are probably going to be answered by somebody in the group, because I am not here with an edict. I'm not here trying to, I'm trying to simply stir conversation that whether it's tomorrow or a year or 10 years down the road, maybe somebody will have the courage and maybe we can become more financially transparent with each other. As a brotherhood, we are very transparent with each other on a lot of fronts. I think that is one of the just great blessings of this church, is that we can share pretty much anything that we want to the group or to each other. And that's been a real blessing for me in my life. And, but when it comes to the finances, and if we get done too early, then I'm going to veer off just a little bit of this path. And I have some other questions about finances. If we don't get there, it's fine. So the mic is ready, I believe. And I have questions. So one of the opening questions is, why would you be afraid to tell people that you need financial guidance or assistance or help? What just makes you sort of want to pull back from that just a little bit? What is it? Why? Oren?
Sorry, that I'm being incompetent as a handler of finances and provider. And I guess pride.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Oren says that you may be viewed as an incompetent provider. Harry?
Money, in a general way at least, equates to power. Last week when we talked about wealth and poverty, the connection between money and power was both a plus and a minus of having it, a positive and a negative. To have options, to have the ability to do things with your money is power, and it's a positive. To have the tendency to trust in that power is a negative. To say, "Help, I'm not making it, it's not working," is recognizing I am powerless.
Okay. Anybody else? LaVon, then Arlo.
Sometimes the vibes that we get from hearing just how financial needs are expressed in someone else's life can make a difference how appealing it looks to express our own. Or sometimes it feels like it's about the next thing to a sexual bondage on the totem pole of bad things to do. And maybe I'm asking also if it's overrated or if the overall character is money's good, so character's good.
Mm-hmm.
This is more than just finances, but when we ask for input in our lives, we're giving up independence. We can still choose whether we follow that, whether we heed the input or not, but basically we are by asking, saying we need something somebody else has to give, in this case wisdom or advice. And maybe we're okay with that on some fronts, but somehow money's different, I guess.
Anybody else want to add anything? Paul. Oh, Willard, sorry.
I don't know if this is a time and a place to share this personal experience, but Jen and I just came back from almost 2 weeks with the Spanish class, enjoyed it thoroughly, but it's always... I can't really afford it, but don't want to miss it. And Sharon would, different times she'd tell me, "Well, you should just tell the class they should just plan to give you some more money to help." I said, "I can never do that." She did this time, and I had this really, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, I would have never asked. And I was embarrassed that she said something. Deep down, I was kind of glad she did, but Does that make sense? You just never want to ask. Because asking for help is saying, I think someone expressed it, just not a good planner.
Thanks for sharing that. I think Paul, go ahead. You still want to?
Don't worry. Well, this is piggybacking on what Arlen mentioned too. I think my struggle is almost as much with simply when I think of being approached personally by somebody. You know, we open ourselves up every council meeting. And I think we tell each other we need to be more open. But somehow it's so hard. So hard for me to go to a brother and express a concern. And it's hard to receive a concern. And so I tend to kind of see this. All of these things are kind of tied together. You know, it's really difficult. We can share deeply, but if there's something that causes a concern in each other, isn't that where we struggle with?
Yeah, I think so. Dwight.
I was thinking about the second verse of the second song. May we all so love each other and all selfish claims deny that the brother for the brother will not hesitate to die. When we have a love like that for each other, it's pretty much based on trusting. You don't really love a person if you don't trust them. And I was just sort of wondering, in our hesitancy to be transparent financially, is it a personal pride issue, or is it a trust issue of the other people? I'm not sure. It could be both, depending on the situation, but I think trust definitely is a pretty major factor in our willingness to be transparent with people. But it's sort of ironic if we would say, I love you so much, I'd be willing to die for you, but no, I'm not going to share anything about my finances.
Yeah, well, we chuckle because we understand some truth to that feeling. Anybody else? So that's a question that I have is, what is it about? Well, so maybe the reason Mark is scared, and I want to hear this from you, I've wondered, I've actually done some self-analyzing, which I've been told comes hard for me, and I've tried to figure out why would Mark be hesitant to be transparent? Why would I be okay, I'm not going to talk about this. And I think the reason that I cringe a little bit at that is, and this is, you know, just being brutally honest here with you people, but so if you would know how much I made, you know, would it, I tend to categorize. Okay, I'll just be honest with you people that I tend to, like Lavon spoke about the poll. And on this poll, not that I think about it when I see you, but if I had a poll of you know, zero to millions, somewhere on that poll I would, you know, inscribe your name, and that's just sort of mentally in my head. I sort of think that, well, some people have means, some have more means, some have more than more means. And I think that for me to expose my finances and to be financially transparent with someone, they might look at that and they might say, well, I guess we're just gonna, In my mind, I'm going to scoot you down a few notches. And, you know, that, and we, you know, we don't really want to be, you know, we tend to think that it's important, but I don't think it is important. And so I have a question about whether or not, if we have somehow adopted a warped worldview of people and their value to us that is related or based on the car they drive, the house they live in, the clothes they wear, is there any possibility that we as Christians could be subtly influenced by the society around us and the things that we observe and we read? What say you?
I think history and experiences tells us we are influenced. We fight against it, we struggle against it, but we just, don't we have to admit that what is happening out there, we feel the pressure on us.
David?
Well, what you said there reminds me of 1 Timothy 6, verse 5. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's talking about some of the issues that people have. He talks about perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing, but he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And I think what you were saying was that you're asking the question whether we've adopted this mentality that somehow godliness is connected to gain.
I remember years ago thinking about what in the general society, what divides people into classes, you know, the upper and the middle and the lower. And so along what you were saying, what David was saying, if somehow with the help of the Lord we can get rid of that valuation, but we need the Lord.
That's right. Laverne?
Well, sometimes things happen that may help us understand that the way we think about each other isn't the best. I'm thinking about a situation that happened in a church in another state where they became aware that in this area there was a lot of oil underneath this area, and there were people in this congregation who may have, I know in one case, may have struggled all their lives to make ends meet. And the first royalty check they got for oil was $80,000. And so you had a number of people in the church who were doing very well with these big oil royalty checks. And there were others who just hadn't happened to be in the right place at the right time. And so they thought, well, surely those who were doing so well could share, but it just really caused a lot of havoc. The presence of that much more money in the community didn't really solve that many more problems. I think it made a few.
Arlo?
I may be connecting some dots wrong here, but I'm starting to think that based on what we're hearing, that it should, the better off we are financially, the greater our net worth, the easier financial transparency should be. Am I right on that?
Lowell. Okay, Arlen kind of bumped me off my little bit.
Stump.
It seems to me in our comparing, like in a group, this from zero to millions or whatever, where we fall, our tendency is to feel inferior and inadequate and whatever. Depends a lot on what peer group we're comparing ourselves with. If we're in the back country in Nicaragua or India or Haiti or places like that, all of us are extremely wealthy. And maybe we're asking the wrong questions or looking at the wrong criteria to try to figure out if we're adequate or aren't.
Yeah. Tim.
I was thinking similar thoughts to what Arlen was saying. I wonder if there aren't other reasons for feeling self-conscious about our money than not being able to make it. And I think we have enough biblical teaching around here about money and the temptations that come with money and things like that, that it could be cause for jumpiness even if you have lots of money.
Down a couple of pegs on the totem pole. If I'm transparent and I am one with more than sufficient means, then maybe I fear that people will draw back and not be friendly with me because they've got this picture of the kind of guy I must be if I'm that filthy rich. Maybe they'll expect more of me, whatever. So there are reasons on both ends that we can fear to be open.
Harry, would you tell us the quote that you shared with me on Sunday about the person who shared his?
Some years back, Lynn Miller was over at King Street Center. Lynn Miller was a stewardship minister for Mennonite Mutual Aid. And he talked about investments and retirement and talked about percentages. And he said, let's just make this real. Let's just use myself for an example. My salary with MMA is about $32,000 a year. That's about average for pastors in our area. See, I wasn't born Mennonite, he said. I don't have the gene that keeps me from telling you that. you will consider me genetically deficient. Well, I consider you genetically constipated.
Leroy, you had your... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I've kind of shifted, but here's a reason, I think, not to wear our sort of financial things, you know, on our sleeves when we meet people. I resist having people make impressions, or I want to make an impression as a human being face-to-face without a lot of trappings around it. So I resist if somebody introduces me as Leroy, who went to Yale, for instance. That's not fair. You know, because that puts, you know, immediately those first impressions are colored by that. And if somebody says, well, this is Leroy who owes $100,000 to me, or this is Leroy whom I owe $100,000, that does the same thing. I'm a human being. First of all, I'm not a financial dude. And I want to be able to be looked in my face and for someone to make a somewhat less biased judgment of who I am by how I interact with them. So I don't want that to be the first thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not so concerned about what a person's net worth is. My hobby horse is, are you a conspicuous consumer? Are you wasteful? Do you know how to live on very small means? You know, that's a wonderful skill to have. Those are things that impress me, not how much money you can spend or how much money you have. So I'm shifting it a little bit, but I don't want, and I certainly make judgments about people based on whether they can add and subtract and plan ahead for things, but I want it to be there's far more interesting things that people do and think than their finances. I guess it's where it gets down to for me.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to share anything? Paul, here. Hang on one second. Paul, up front.
So what Leroy was saying, isn't that just, aren't we looking at the wrong places for our value system? And maybe that's our problem, that we are, instead of knowing that we are of value because we are created by God and redeemed, and we are all on the same page on that basis, and the enemy somehow gets our sight off of that, and we start comparing ourselves and having false value systems.
Mm-hmm. So what are things that we can do? What are things, you can speak to me, that encourage more of an openness about, and I'm not talking about everybody coming with a badge on their shoulder next Sunday with what you make, but I'm wondering, what are things that we can do that encourage conversations, whether they're really hard and whether you're the one speaking or whether you're the one listening? Both parties have a great responsibility. But what are things that you would suggest that can help fester these conversations on a more more personal level? Ryan. And your daughter wants to speak right after you, Ryan.
One of the things that we have found tremendously encouraging is sharing and hearing others share stories of how God makes finances work out in his ways, how the principles of the kingdom that Jesus taught work out. Because when we read the principles that he taught, it doesn't always seem like they'll work out. And sometimes that's why we're scared to live them out. And so as we have opportunity, sometimes chosen, sometimes not chosen, to live a little daringly with finances, then we find opportunity for God to prove himself real. And I find it very encouraging when we share those stories and see that God can part the Red Sea in this day. And yeah, that's...
The scripture says, judge not that ye be not judged. And I think maybe where it starts for some of us is in our own attitude toward other people. Because when we're critical of other people and the way that we perceive them to be managing things, then we, I think somewhat rightfully, expect the same. We expect other people to think the same things toward us, if they would know. So I think being really careful ourselves to not be critical of others has a way of opening us up to being more willing to share.
Oren?
Several things that I have been thinking about as this has developed. I think the thing Leroy is pointing out to us is valid. Do we, with anything else, make it a point to try to be open for openness' sake? But then the additional point that he made about looking at each other simply as individuals rather than those other things, that was a valid point. I'm thinking about the fact that you've brought out, Mark, that for some reason this particular subject seems to not be as easy to open up about as other things. Now, transparency is a good thing for us. I mean, you don't get close to people unless you're transparent, but you're not to the same degree transparent to everybody, and it's okay. you're going to be more transparent with your wife, hopefully, than anybody else. Then there's going to be some brothers or some sisters in the church that, you know, would be in the next category. It's not that you don't love others that you don't share as much with. It's, are you willing to? If the situation is right, that you begin to open up about it, and that it's not that subject being one that we just don't do it about, mm-hmm. I think is an important thing. And then keeping, thinking about the verse that David read, and several of us have talked about value system. You see, if it doesn't make any difference to us one way or the other, and I realize we can't just turn a switch and it be that way. But if God says contentment is where the rating really is, then where are we on that? And I've thought about it this way. I haven't played much Monopoly for a long time, but I mean, who cares on Monday morning if Sunday evening I play with my children and one of them gets filthy rich? Well, who cares on Monday morning? Doesn't make a bit of difference. Well, there, you get the analogy?
Tim?
I think hearing Oren's talk about being open for openness' sake raises a question for me. It feels like we're kind of assuming that the only thing that comes out of being open with our finances is rating. And so my question is, why would we want to be open with our finances? What is the point here? Why are we wanting to push towards openness in our finances? I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm saying, what's behind this? Why should we be striving for this?
Okay.
I hope I was understood. Okay, all right. Well, I think, and just put it in the same category as anything else. Can I be helpful to you? Can you be helpful to me? You know, as our friendships grow, we're willing to talk about it. But yeah, so you were agreeing that it's not openness for openness' sake.
Not quite sure by now what your question was, Mark, but it seems to me the reason that I feel open with someone to share, even if it's on an area of struggle, there's two things. One, if I can trust that brother's integrity completely. And number two, if that brother is not particularly a threat to him, if I know he's struggling also with whatever the situation is, then there's something that opens the door between me and him, and I can share fairly freely with a person like that based on those two things.
Yeah.
And since Mike is going by, I think Keith did a good job for us on that point on Sunday.
Yeah, amen. Leroy.
Probably kind of sidestepped, what we're trying to do this evening, and I'll try to make a stab at why it would be good to be open with finances. I think of the example of, let's just say, somebody asking for assistance from the church, wants me to put money in for them, and I see that they live in a way that I don't really approve of. You know, they spend money on frivolous things, and they're sort of in a different class of consumption than I approve of. And so maybe there's an instructive part of talking about, say, household finances, how we actually divvy up the money we have and spend it, in that maybe we can start coming closer together in our value system, in what we think is most important. What's the most important thing, second, third, and fourth? And it seems to me that we would be a more cohesive group if we recognized at least similar ideals in how we use money for our household and for our personal use and how we share it with others then. Because if we're all over the spectrum, I'm not really interested in helping wastrels because I feel like I'm kind of frugal, So I have that standard and it seems to me that would be one argument for being more open, is just simply to be instructive and to sort of help understand a value system.
Mm-hmm. Nathan?
Primary purposes of being open is that I can learn and be helped to live more like Christ. And that's really the reason we're open in other areas, is so we can become more Christ-like, help each other draw closer to the Lord and His heart in those areas. Wouldn't the same apply in finances? And I think if we remember, go more from the attitude, would it help if we go from the attitude, what can I learn by opening myself up, rather than I'm just putting out there what I make or whatever, but just recognizing that I would guess all of us, and start with myself, have areas I can grow in how I use my finances, and give an opportunity for people to speak into my life about that.
Yeah. Does anybody have something to share over here? Feel free to speak to this subject matter as well. So I have, we're just going to take a little side road here, but I have thought a lot about this, and I thought a lot about this before I even talked, well, I thought about the real personal things. But, and it's been talked about on value systems. How do we see, so if I would, so we're going to Colorado tomorrow, Lord willing, and I don't think anybody would come and say, Mark, that seems to be frivolous. Now, if I told you that I've got a caribou hunt next year in Alaska, and it's about 18,000, would anybody tap me on the shoulder? Would any of you brethren tap me on the shoulder? Raise your hand if you would. Go ahead. Leroy, I would expect you to. Paul would, okay.
How many of us would know?
Well, it's really hard to keep things secret in this part of the world. But, you know, I mean, and I'm not, I mean, I may do a caribou hunt, but, it, you know, forget the number there, because it's, you know, not even... Anyways, so what I guess what I'm driving after is that I have trouble trying to make sense out of what is reasonable, what is decent. I mean, I know of a man in the East who spent over $100,000 fixing an old truck to like new. He's a beachy minister. Did anybody say, that really seems a little outrageous? I mean, where do we as a brotherhood, do we act like we want to? Who has the courage to say, brother, I heard something about this and this, and to have a talk about value, it is not a conversation that I would want to go have with somebody. And yet, you know, when I think of some of the things that I know, I just think, oh, do we want to get to a place where we don't say anything about anybody's spending habits? You know, and one of these questions is, you know, and we're getting way off the trail here, but, it, you know, Mike Miller told me of a friend he has in Hutchison, and he told Mike that he'd like to build a house that equals 1 year of his wage, and he makes $800,000. Well, and he's struggling with this. He says, it's only 1 year wage. You know, it gets really complicated. I mean, I don't know if any of us, well, maybe some people live in a house that, you know, is you know, 1 year's wage, but most people, you know, it's much more than that. And so, how do we as a brotherhood help each other? Or do we just simply let the brotherhood spend or not spend as they wish? Is there any continuity in thought that can exist in a brotherhood? And if so, how do we sort of make that aware? How does that happen in a brotherhood? It gets really, really hard, severely hard. Levon.
Maybe this goes where we didn't want to go about sharing the 1040s, but I have a cousin that is in a small church where they do that annually or so, and he said, you know, it does make a difference how I think about what I have available to me if I know so-and-so is really just struggling to make ends meet. And so that could bring a level of caring and sharing and help tug us back from the excesses, possibly.
Mm-hmm. John.
So as I think about talking to a brother about a specific financial decision, one of my obstacles that I face is my own convoluted thoughts about my own decisions. And as we make financial decisions, then I'm often torn between, is this a good decision? Is it not a good decision? What are some of the reasons that it's good to spend here and not good to spend here? And so that going round and round is one reason, like, I just see how difficult that is for myself. How could I, without knowing everything about that brother's situation, speak into his situation?
And I think that's what makes it hard to... It's what makes it hard to give advice as well as to ask for advice. I felt a need for having somebody look over my shoulder, and it took quite a while before I was able to find somebody who was willing to do that. And I think we recognize, as John was saying, this is a complicated thing. I can't just come riding in here and impose my values and say, well, this is what works. This is what has worked for me. This is how you should do it, because... And so it's not just who would be willing to go and impose on that situation, but even when help is asked for, we shrink back and we say, well, I'm not sure I'm the person for that job.
Lowell?
Talking about financial transparency and why don't we dare speak into each other's lives or whatever, I was just thinking, do we have precedence in Scripture? And I've been reading ahead a little bit in Acts, and I don't understand all that happened in Acts 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, but apparently there was a significant problem that was addressed, not just by the brotherhood, but regarding a lack of financial transparency.
In Ananias and Sapphira's case, they were purporting to be transparent. The problem was they weren't. They were lying. Yeah. I think more could be said, too, about I mean, there are people of other of faith that are related to us that take would take Acts 5 very, very seriously and make it a part of their gospel, in fact.
Yeah.
And maybe they're not as far wrong as we sometimes think they are. I haven't decided to join them, but I think that there's something to be said about having a goal and having a purpose that is similar to our brothers.
Steve.
Well, I've had a lot of bad experiences about talking about finances with you all, so I wasn't super looking forward to coming, but because it often feels like a popularity contest to see how frugal we can be, and that's a gross exaggeration, but it feels a little bit amusing to me for frugality to be next to godliness. Because of what John was talking about here, it is super confusing. I think that guy that you were talking about, the $800,000 house, that's a complicated and not a no-brainer to not build that house. I don't know. The one thing Circles has taught me is that each person is individually qualified to make the best decision about their finances. They may not have the skills necessary at the present moment, but they are the most uniquely qualified individual in their lives to make the proper decision. And I think the goal here, are we being more like Christ? And if transparency means if I'm willing to share what I'm making, I know that my worth is not tied to it. That's one thing that I love. Every time I'm like, hey, this is what I make, or this is the hourly rate, I realize I'm getting my value from my position in Christ. And why I'm saying this is I believe that we should view each other as uniquely qualified for our own situations, maybe lacking skills and knowledge, but uniquely qualified.
Thanks for sharing, Stephen. Paul?
Well, I just commend you to be willing to do this evening. And I think talking like this, like we have this evening, is a good beginning towards being more transparent and more aware. I know it has encouraged me.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else have something you'd like to add? Well, it has been as much of a blessing for me to partake of this evening and to hear you brethren speak. Most of you, not all of you spoke, but those of you that spoke, I commend you for your encouraging words on how we as a congregation, the things that we value, how we value them, what we base that on, and the struggle that I think all of us sometimes feel. That emotional transparency that you've shared has been a tremendous value for me tonight. And it is my prayer and that I can walk through and with you as we entertain these thoughts, and maybe there'll be opportunity where you will be asking, or maybe you'll be asked to help in those decisions. And I pray that the Lord's wisdom and the guidance of His Holy Spirit would be upon all of us, regardless of our position in that conversation, and that we can continue to prove to the world round about us that we can know so much about each other And yet, that love that is required is abundantly there for each one of us. Thank you for your thoughts.
Thank you, Mark, for leading us in a challenging discussion. At this time, let's stand for a closing prayer. Father in heaven, we heard a lot tonight about how we can better learn from each other and better be like you. And I pray that you would challenge, I pray that each one of us would take this challenge and apply it to our lives and help us to be formed closer to your image. Go with us this evening and be with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.